This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. A couple of months ago, I got to watch Tung Jit Yang, a fresh graduate from the New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, perform in a one-man show which he devised with the help of a director. The show, titled Tana, was a work in progress. It's a story about a boy which involved his school principal and his grandfather. Jit is here with Vina Law, who is performing in a devised play that Jit is directing. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Very rarely do I get two Malaysians who have both gone to theatre school and then coming back to the country and then trying to find a way of making a career here.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You belong to that generation where folks have decided, I will go and for training. Mm-hmm. What are the benefits? The reason I'm asking that too is that, you know, there are a lot of people in town acting who have not really gone to school.
Like when I wanted to go to theatre school, like being exposed to theatre here for a while in KL back with T4IP, then I worked with Shakespeare, Demystified, then I was like, I wanted to get training but I didn't know where to go. And locally, I didn't know as well, like maybe I didn't do enough of my research, but I always felt like going abroad seemed to be the thing. So I applied and then I don't know, there's just too much, I don't know, like like everything, like every single class and even being in New York, being away from home, the benefits were just
enormous.
So enormous, yeah, really enormous. Like thinking back now, if I didn't go to college, because I was contemplating maybe not going, you know, like when we got the acceptance letter, when I got the acceptance letter, me and my dad actually sat down and was like, okay, is this what we really, what I really wanted to do? Then there was for a while a chance that maybe I don't need to, or maybe, but I felt I wanted formal training. And my dad as well was like, okay, you need to get a degree. At least go get a degree, you know, then maybe you can teach in the future or something. But going there and learning, yeah, the benefits are just enormous. You just experience things that, you learn things you don't know. And these professors are people who have done it like forever. For ages, and they're in their field, and they're like, they're so specific on like certain topics of theatre. Like I had a professor who was like, she was into witches of, and she would like bring us through like age, like from Jacobian to Elizabethan to now contemporary, just follow witches throughout the, you know, in scripts
the
and all
that. The history of
playing
witches.
Yeah, the archetype of the witch, you know. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many people like that here, so maybe that's the benefit.
So for you, lots of benefits. Yeah, although you haven't given me any in terms of details. Yeah. I'm going to pass the ball to Vina. On top of that, you went to Korea.
Yes. Well, my original plan was actually to get a film directing, you know, training. I have not done any theatre in Malaysia before I left. So I'm totally new. I went there and I was, okay, I'm going to do film. But due to language barriers, like misunderstanding and all that, I somehow got pulled into the theatre department.
That is so funny.
So for my first week of school, I was like, okay, I'm going to just apply for the classes that I want, right? And apparently I did it all wrong. And they called me and they're like, Vina, you are in the theatre department and you're an acting major. And I'm like, what? Okay, I guess I have no choice. So I just went on with it.
Oh, no.
And it just happened like that. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing theatre now.
But it didn't occur to you, maybe this is not for me. I'm going to go make things correct and go to filmmaking.
I actually graduated with a theatre and cinema. So I did both film and theater classes, but I was more focused on theater because it was together. But I tried film. I did a short film in school and realized it wasn't for me.
Mm. Yeah. Theater was for you.
Yes.
From your perspective, what's the benefit?
The benefit was, I think my program was very different from his because I think his was very acting focused, right?
I would mixture, right? Yeah.
But mine, our program was, we had to learn everything, like lighting, set design, costume design, makeup design, dramaturg, directing, everything. So I also took acting classes and all that, but it wasn't focused. But the benefits of that was that, is that right now, I'm able to actually just, if I want to do a play, I can actually do everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was a very big benefit. I can stage manage as well. Yeah.
How long was the course? 4 years? 3 years? 4 years?
And four yours, years for myself.
Both
as
of us.
Well,
yes. The American programs are all 4 years. Mm-hmm. Well, and the British programs could be three.
Three.
Yeah.
Since you're both involved in a devised play, what is a devised play?
For me, I like to think of a devised play as starting with no script, you know, no text per se. But maybe there is a text.
It depends.
It starts with an like idea, I think. Really with an idea, like. Yeah, but no established play, nothing from like Samuel French or something that has been staged before. It's something new for one and something that has not been written or, it's something new. And
no written word before you even begin your first encounter.
Yeah, no play written yet.
No play, but there might be text, but not play. It can be a menu from McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You could do a device play on the menu, McDonald's, for sure.
Anything. Or a picture.
So for this project, which is called
Rewired,
has echoes of Tana, the one that you did. With that word, I suppose, it also brings us very close to home.
When Chris, the artistic director of Theatre 360, whose company I'm working with now, when he asked for a title, I was like, okay, title. What is the title? Because that's the last thing you think about, right? It's like you get the thing first, then the you know what to call it. But then he's like, okay, we need to get the word out. You need to tell me what the title is. So when we were devising, I came upon this article on Facebook about this man who jumped off the Penang Bridge. You know, he wrote his suicide note on Facebook and he was like, okay, please spread this. And then, some of the things he said in that letter, in his suicide note was like, he was not being treated well, corrupt power. But then he said something really, really, a phrase that he said, saya akan tamatkan riwayat aku. That word riwayat stuck with me. I'm like, what is riwayat? For me, I thought it was just life or... I want to end my life, right? Like, I didn't really know the translation. And then looking at definitions, it's like Urdu roots of the word, there's Arabic roots of the word. So it means chronicles or narrative, a story, a history, a tradition. There's so many kind of... It's not a word that we can pin down. Yeah. So
at least not in English.
Not in English,
No, so one word to translate that
exactly, completely. So, that stuck out for me, Rewired. And I think definitely it has echoes with Tana because I came back from New York to tell Malaysian stories, to do kind of work. Not to say like, okay, Malaysian, but like for my audience, for my home, with my people,
Well, we started with this question about going to theatre school and now you're doing this devised play. How much of what you learned from the schools that you attended helped inform on the process of devising a play? Was there a particular course or, is it, devising theatre 101?
I don't know about Veena. Did you?
No, I didn't have a devising class, but every semester we would do a workshop. And in my third year of school, two of my professors came back from East 15 Acting School in London. And apparently they did a lot of devising work there. And they were really, gung-ho and passionate. And they came back and they gathered all of the foreign students, which it was seven of us at that point. And they just took us in and trained us for 2 months in devising, just all sorts of things. And then we put up a show in English. First time ever in a theatre school in Korea.
Oh, wow.
And it went well. And that's how I got into devising and how I decided that, okay, this is my route kind of thing. Before that, I actually haven't really decided whether or not I want to do theatre. It was that piece that made me, yes, this is it. Yeah, that was my introduction.
Your entry into devising plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went into... Like before I left for New York, I told myself, I want to be an actor, you know, like give me the script, give me the character, I'll play the character well. And then I went to acting school for like 2 years because I went there as an actor first. So you get intensive actor training. So you get the script, you do character work, emotional work. But then you also, in periphery, right? You got your actor training, but then you get these kind of your movement classes. And then in your movement classes, you're also kind of devising things. And then I just felt like all the exercises I got, which were more of like directing centric or like creating centric, instead of like, okay, this is the text, this is your character, go. I was so much drawn to, and my teachers kind of noticed it in me as well. Then I was like, okay, the following year after my actor training at the Meisner Studio, I was like, okay, where do I go? Then I went to RADA in London, and though we were supposed to do Shakespearean text, but there was a lot of devising in there as well. We would take like a play and then we would deconstruct it.
A Shakespeare play.
Yeah, a Shakespeare play, or just like even one monologue, and we would deconstruct it, we'll find what it is. So I just, in school, we did a lot of devising, and I was so drawn to it. I didn't get that much here. Before. Like my last project here was, if I was acting, it was probably Shakespeare Demystified's Merchant of Venice. And then what the last thing I directed was Written Plays by Michael Frayn and Alex Chua. But then when I went there, then suddenly I was exposed to this, like, I remember one of my teachers, like, the first assignment was, okay, give me a two-minute solo piece. That's it. That was just the prompt. And you're like, what do you mean?
What do I do?
Like, go and make it and do it. Then you make something, then we talk about it. And then, okay, next week, bring it back again. And you're like, yeah, just freed everything up. Like, being on stage and doing a certain activity kind of like, is, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That was my entry point. My teachers were like...
Really. Hearing the both of you talk about it, seems to me like devising a play gives you the opportunity to tell at least your story, even though it may be mixed with somebody else's. At least you have a greater input into the narrative.
Yes.
As opposed to getting a script from French.
Yes, definitely.
I'm speaking with Jit Young and Bina Law, one the director and the other a performer in Riwayat, a devised performance that will happen this week. Coming up, more about what a devised play is and details on its process, especially in this production. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. You're listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng with Jit Young and Vina Law, both of whom are involved in a devised theatrical production titled Rewired. What process did you follow? What did you do? You gathered the people first, or you sat down and you thought, you know, I will have a theme since I have these stories about Malaysia that I'm interested in?
A big hero of mine is Pina Bausch. Oh. She's a...
Dancer.
Yeah, she's a dancer. So but when she did her theatre, her dances, a lot of people said that wasn't dance. It was more like theatre. Then the people from theatre said, that's not theatre, that's dance. So I think she's like the pioneer of dance theatre, which is like, you know, this kind of new combination from Europe.
With some trance.
And I knew about her from school as well.
Yeah.
The way she worked, she says she likes to ask questions. She would just pose a question to her ensemble, her dancers, and then how they respond to it in a kind of, in a theatrical way. Whatever theatrical expression comes from that questioning, she takes, she sees, and then she makes it something. She choreographs something from it. She choreographs or she uses someone's story, the actual text they use, and or a certain image. Like there's one story where she has like a picture on her desk, and then she goes up to her actor and she says, "Okay, take this picture and do something." And that's
do
it.
Something.
Yeah,
something
you got to do something with it. So I think that's how I approached it. Was I was just kind of asking my ensemble questions, like, how do you feel about the rain? Like, there was one day it was raining outside, and I was like, okay, ensemble, we will go out and then experience the rain, go and feel the rain, and come back, and we will do something.
The first meeting, what happened there, Vina? Can you remember?
I wasn't there.
You weren't there?
My actors are all so busy. So the actors came in one by one. But our first rehearsal...
First rehearsal together.
Childhood, was it?
Childhood.
You threw the word at them, Jit? Said, think about childhood.
I told them, like, one for that rehearsal, like the week before or the day before, I was like, bring something that's precious to you from your childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, bring it in. So people brought in like a PlayStation controller. People brought in a book they stole from the school library. You know, when you were like really, really young. You know, and then like Vina shared a story about her grandmother while we were talking about childhood. And there was a long discussion.
Yeah. I think almost a 2-hour discussion.
Yeah, just sharing and talking about like what makes us similar, but also what makes us different. And then from there, I told them, okay, you need to create a solo now. Mm. Two solos and...
one text, one movement.
And a duet, yeah. So, and because, I mean, my ensemble are not exactly new. Like, Vina has been trained and has gone to, you know, done some device theatre. And a lot
Stephanie, too.
Yeah, lot of my ensemble have done, like, device theatre. So, yeah, they just took in their stride and... Yeah, I just see what they give me and then that's about it.
And then you piece it all together.
Yeah, I'm like, I like this, let's try this, like expand on this. And
So are these going to be like individual pieces or are they going to be collaborative in the sense that you see more than one person doing that piece, performing that piece?
It's pretty collaborative, I would say. I think most pieces have all of us in it.
Yeah, I think it's very much... It's very ensemble-driven, I feel.
So how do you get it from, you know, one person telling a story, like Vina saying, okay, you know, she told a story about her grandma. How does that evolve into involving the other actors?
Like, okay, so the Vina shares a story about her grandmother and then maybe... Nicole shares something about her mother and then she does a solo about that and Vina does a wonderful solo about that. And you see how maybe do I see more people in it? And then, okay, let's make this a group piece now. And then how does that work? But yeah, I there's no like fixed way for me. I just, it's just kind of feeling it out.
But I think what Jit normally does is he would see all of our solos and what happens is he puts them together. I think he's more of an image guy. You know, he sees this image of a woman with a bag on her head. And
I didn't see that image. Vina, you saw that image.
Okay,
you came up with that image. I saw that image and I was like, yes, I like that
image. Right, right. See, like he was like, okay, I like this image and I like this text. Let's put them together.
Yeah.
I think he did a lot of that. And it just kind of worked out.
I guess where I'm going with this is also that how much of this device play needs negotiation, how do you document it until the end you have a product? Is somebody sitting beside you or sitting there writing down the words, what's being said, where, who is moving in what direction?
We document everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We record everything. Cause,
videotape.
Yeah, video. Right. Without it, I will be lost. There's no way. Because there's so much material that really there's like hours and hours of material.
Which then also seemed to suggest that after the devising or rehearsing or whatever you want to call that process, you have to go home and watch those videos again.
For me, like when I watch certain things stick, then I'm like, oh, remember that thing? What was it? I feel like, yeah, remember when Vina put a bag on her head? Yeah, what was that? And then I'll go back to the tape. I'm like, whoa, yeah. Then, that's what I use the recordings for. Not so much like going through everything, but like when something sticks in my mind and I'm like, okay, Capri, another ensemble member, said something, had a really great monologue. But what were the key words? What did I want to know about more? So I go back to the video.
How do you stitch the chronology? A chronology in the sense of the flow of the show, you know? Like what's first, what's second, what's third?
Feel?
Yeah, feel. Yeah, it's feel. Yeah, it's definitely more like feel. Because there's no, for Rewire anyway, there's no fixed linear narrative, right? Mm. So it's more like, okay, we make the audience feel, the ensemble is like very cheerful and high up now. And then maybe it goes down. Like my designer, Chi Kong, because he's quite new to theatre actually. He's not trained or anything. We did theatre back in like high school. But now I brought him on as a designer. And he was like, I think Rewired is like a playlist. You know, like a concert playlist or like a DJ's playlist that you don't know, but sometimes you want the highs, you want the lows, and then you want it to plateau a little bit and then change it up. So yeah, he thinks of Rewire as a playlist, like tracks, you know, different songs, and then one bleeds into another, and then why is it in that way? Yeah, really, it's more like the sound of it, the look of it, the feel of it.
How much is this is driven by the music that you have composed for it? I assume you've composed music for this, or you have borrowed music for it.
This is interesting.
The music, I don't know, for Vina, like music, the music creating process was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did we do, Vina?
Okay, so what we did was he told us to bring in, Stephanie actually, she told us to bring in things that would make interesting sounds. Sounds that make you feel like you're being sucked in and pushed out or something like that. So we just brought stuff, like random stuff, and we even brought instruments, and we jammed. We just started hitting on bags and stuff like that. And then what happened? And then after that, I think I suggested for Jit to sit in the middle, and we surrounded him, and I said, Jit, give us a color. And then we just made sounds on that color that he gave us. And then he's like, okay, let's try a story now. And that happened. And then after that, all of our tracks were done like that. So we just started with the title, and then we just went.
Yeah,
like you recorded the music.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the music that you'll be using in your performance.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Device music.
I'm trying to get my head around this. Because I mean, if you device music and you have device play, you have, in a sense, two variables.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess once you recorded the music, it fixes certain things, which means that it allows your performance to follow the music like dance would follow music. Is that what happened?
No, actually.
It was a combination of both, right? Yeah, like sometimes you would just make the music.
Yeah.
We were like, okay, we want a war song today. You know, like, okay, what is a, you know, something that gets you riled up? Or sometimes you're like, okay, we want something happy about a digital age, or something happy about a dream you had. And then sometimes it's like I see a movement and I feel like there needs to be a music. And I'm like, okay, let's create something that's like
summoning a devil,
like summoning like a spirit, or like or like nuns in a secret garden was one of the tracks, you know. So that's it. Yeah,
we have talked about the process. We have talked about how, you know, how it's being crafted based on the kind of intuition and a feel.
Yeah.
What's it about? I know from the title, it's about narratives of people, stories of people, maybe a kind of a history of sorts. Overall, as an absolute product, what is it about?
I think you. I think what you said was really, really good. I think we should use that for like the flyers and everything. No, really. I think when I wanted to do a show with an ensemble device piece, I was told myself I didn't want to like. For this time around anyway, I didn't want to come in with like a strong theme. I didn't want to come in with like a, okay, we're going to do something about, I don't know, like
love and
immigration
death.
Or something, right? Like something like political, right? I just wanted to get a group of people together and hear what they have and like see what they, how they express themselves and somehow find something from that. Like, and when we were sharing stories and our histories and our hopes and things, we were like, like us as an ensemble want to move towards and go away from. I just took all of this material and that's what Rewired came up to be. It wasn't really like, okay, this is a political piece, but politics was discussed, you know, there was politics discussed, but there was also childhood discussed and our grandmothers discussed. So it's about, like exactly like you said, like the history, the narrative of us as the ensemble. And then hopefully when the audience comes and sees it and they're like, yeah, I kind of feel similarly or feel differently or, hopefully.
You have seven actors, right?
Yeah.
Seven actors, seven, in some ways, seven different kinds of narratives. Not that you're taking complete narratives from one person, but, you know, we have seven people and you're weaving all these narratives together. And as the director, you have to give it a kind of a coherence.
Yeah, yeah.
You see the coherence in your head?
Do you, Vina?
Doing it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yesterday we had our first ever run.
First ever full run. For Chris,
I think it makes more sense now to me. I don't know if this will make people not want to come, but the show feels like a punch, and then a hug at the end.
Oh.
So that's the feeling of it, I feel.
I love the image you're given.
Yeah.
Beautiful image.
I hope this won't like, scare just, people I hope away. It's,
just that we're not, I hope we're not punching a punching bag and then hugging it.
No, definitely not.
Riwayat is a device play directed by Tung Jit Yang. Starts this Thursday, that is tomorrow, at the Theatre 360 at Tommy LeBaker in Viva Residency on Jalan Sultan Azlan Shah, formerly known as Jalan Ipoh. It will run through to Sunday, December 11th. All shows are at 8:30 p.m. and tickets are priced at 38 ringgit. The seven performers are Shane Capri Chin, Vina Law, who is here, Alfred Lowe, Claudia Lowe, Grace Ng, Nicole Ann Thomas, and Stephanie Van Driessen. Directed by Jit Yang. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.